What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that has just learned that money won is twice as sweet as money earned. My name's Terry.
Delightful. My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Now, Andy, you may have picked up on that little ditty I threw in there.
What was that?
It was a vague and oblique reference to the fact that we are covering 1986's The Colour of Money as part of our sequel miniseries directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Tom Cruise and the one and only Paul Newman. Is this your first Newman?
Yeah, it is actually. I don't think I've seen any Paul Newman movie before this.
Where's your... Give me your dad's phone number. I want to talk to him.
Excuse me?
Actually, you know what? Instagram keeps trying to add me.
I literally just told him that 10 minutes ago. I was like, he says, tell Terry I said hello. And I was like, I will. Yeah. And I said, he says you keep popping up on his Instagram. He's thinking about following. He's like, oh, don't, don't.
At least I'll DM him then. Where did you go wrong with this boy?
I'd say, don't talk to me.
Any
he wouldn't. That sounds deeper than I meant.
So flashbacks to Centre there. It was our main man.
No, don't talk to me.
There he is,
Ronan. There's an impression for you off the bat. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I mean, no one else knows who he is.
You did a good impression for me in the car. Have you got it?
Well, I know a cue up when I hear one, Terry.
Let's see.
Okay, folks, guess who this is. I'm going to say I'm going to say the name though, because that's how I go into it. Terry, this is Philip Seymour Hoffman. Okay, and what I need, I need you to do me this favor, okay?
kind of lost it there. Yesterday's
it.
Is better.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Under the bright lights.
No, the lights are very much on me, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I'm really just doing an impression of my brother doing Philip Seymour Hoffman, because he recently did an impression, and I just happened to just wing it in the message, and then it kind of worked out, so anyway.
See, you got to be able to bring it up, though, as well. Because he can go like,
"This is the
you're dead,
you're dead." No, this. Okay, first I got to start down low. Okay, and then this is the part in the movie where
now you're not soft enough. No, you're not soft enough. You're not soft enough, dude. We gotta get out of here. I sharted. Yes, some people are into it. Anyway, how have you been? Any crack with you?
I've been well, busy, but that's boring. Hey, let me ask you, are you happy with the big victory of the weekend?
It's in the way that you use it. Bam, bam. I did not think we had any chance. And just when it looked like, you know, the club was careening into off a cliff, they went and totally redeemed themselves.
And so Ten Hag is still in a job at the minute.
At the minute. If they fire him now,
I mean, yeah, why would they fire him?
I mean,
is it money?
I don't know. Like, it costs. They're talking De Zerbi. They're talking.
I didn't like him when he was associated with Liverpool, to be honest.
Oh, man. Like, but that
Bart Simpson over there fucking managing my club
defies all logic. Like,
yeah, no.
Like, he finished lower than them in the league.
I know.
And won no cups. But we're going to take him in. Like.
And Ten Hag's had a reduced squad and won an FA Cup, an unlikely FA Cup. And was really probably four results off qualifying for...
Four results off fourth place.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
Like, anyway, it was great. And I was delighted for him. And you know what? I loved how bullish he got by the end of the press.
He's like, you slam them when they don't.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, if they don't want me, that's fine. I'll go win trophies somewhere else. Yeah, like, yes, Eric.
Yeah, I love that.
Fucking right. Like, you tell, you fucking, I know, you know, Big Jim is a ruthless motherfucker. Apparently he sent her a thing today. Did you see it?
No.
Where all non-football staff at Old Trafford have been offered voluntary resignations.
No way, really?
Which is kind of like they're saying it's voluntary redundancy. And you have, like, by midweek to respond.
Okay, no. How about
well, then
that?
You're fired.
Oh, okay.
or something along the lines, because he's like, we've too many, it employs too many staff that do nothing. Like,
and now let me ask you something. When I'll admit a wry smile arose on my face when City scored their one goal, I was like, oh well, they're winning. I was like, when
the goal went in, and what a goal! Like, the fucking
typical fucking Onana. He's a liability,
but he's been brilliant all game. Like, he pulled out some fucking great saves, and then like just, that one squirms in. I'm like, yeah. Oh, Andre. It's like Andre the Seal.
I don't get that reference.
The movie, the Seal. Andre, and he was a seal. Never it was around that time when Dunstan checked in and
Beethoven
was running around the place, you know, mid-90s.
What happened to animals being the lead character?
They're awful to work with.
Yeah,
Ed,
right.
Remember Ed?
The horse?
No, the monkey that Joey Tribbiani was a baseball player. Or
no,
Matt LeBlanc.
I don't remember that.
It was his like movie when he was on Friends. He's like, you know, kind of maybe using it as leverage for bigger pay, and it bombed.
Oh, I don't.
It's like Matt LeBlanc and a chimpanzee in a baseball movie called Ed.
I mean, the story writes itself, really. Straight
if
to the
you say so.
Trash. hey.
Yeah, I was very happy.
Good. I'm glad. And you know what? Like, part. This is the part that really bugged me. Like, I know I said in the group chat, like, I was kind of rooting for United a little bit. I was like, that is strong, but I found myself, when United would misplace a pass in the final third, I'd be like, gah! And I'm like, huh!
Hey.
Like, the fuck is this? Yeah. I just really don't want
City.
I
hate
United.
Cities.
I want them both to lose. Well, it's like when United went 2-0, I was like, And then when City scored to make it 2-1, I was like,
But surely...
Someone's got to win, though.
But surely now, right? I know we're a laughing stock.
Yeah.
But we 100%. Never have done or have operated as shadily as City have.
No, well, no one has.
That's why everybody hates them more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they got there by cheating in more ways. I mean, the drug thing for me is like, that's going to rear its head, hopefully.
You're talking about Rodri's eyebrows?
There's that, and just the fact that, like, I did a bit of reading on it, and like, Pep Guardiola's doctor goes to every club with him. And they're like, take this, all of you.
And eat from it.
In your ass.
Do you think there's truth? Because Andy was saying he thinks there's a lot of doping
like,
going
I mean,
on.
I don't know if you saw that stick to football thing, and they were talking about like playing against Italian teams.
Yeah, and they were like, they're on something.
They're like, how are they doing this?
Yeah.
And like, then, you know, there was a big doping scandal in...
Do you think something will come out about the English game in a while?
I don't think it's across the board. I definitely don't think it's across the board. But like, if you were to say to me the teams that would be involved, City would be like top of my list.
Yeah.
Barca, probably top of my list.
Yeah. Real?
Maybe. Bayern, probably. Like, Real actually, a little bit. Like, if you look at Messi when he joined Barca, and then like a couple of years later, he was like built like a brick shit house.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, I'm looking at Vinny Jr. Now, it could just be like part of growing and packing on muscle and stuff like that. Ronaldo, when he left United, became...
Can I ask you, has he gone completely insane?
Yes, he has. Yeah.
I see clips of him from the fucking Saudi league and I'm like, oh my God, he's lost the plot, this guy. Like, oh, like it with fans and fucking missing sitters and threatening to punch the ref and like... Just like mad, like just bad. He seems like a bad person.
He's a bad person. He is a bad person. He's not a nice guy.
He doesn't seem like. Whatever. Do you think Messi is a nice guy?
No.
Do you think?
No. I
think
it's
what
a
makes
bit
you
of
say
a
that?
Sad.
Is that just a vibe, or have you got any? You know.
I don't think he's as bad as Ronaldo, but
no,
I think you
it's
know.
A low bar, no.
Yeah, I mean, you look at all the top guys. I guess you got to have a bit of bad in you, like you know.
Yeah. Talking.
You know, like, I think, like, Roy Keane was not a good guy.
Yeah.
He's entertaining to listen to now. He's my favourite player of United ever.
Yeah.
Because he was so brilliant. But then you look at, like, the shit he did.
Yeah. Like
and,
the,
like, the Haaland thing is,
all,
like, you know, number one.
Like. Oh, he just copped, like, about 6 months ago that was Erling Haaland's dad.
Oh, yeah. Did you see he was Alfie was on
the train? Yeah. No. Like,
good
enough
for
my God.
Prick.
No, but it was a good win. It was a good win for you. So it was a good win.
Just delighted for our ETH, to be honest. And if he does go, I'll be very sad. I'll be angry with the guys. If he does go, get somebody fucking like Gordon.
Yeah.
Like they were talking about McKenna the day before. I'm like, what?
The Ipswich manager.
Yeah, like what? And then like
it's a nice idea, but let's get real here.
Yeah, like. De Zerbi, I'm like, no.
No, I wouldn't be happy with like De Zerbi maybe last year. If he didn't have such a fairly mediocre year with Brighton.
He's like, a dick, and like they have a good squad.
Yeah.
Like they play, at times play lovely football, but he just conducts himself like a dickhead as well. Like, you know, I don't like him.
Yeah.
I like Ten Hag. I like for the things he stands for. You know what I mean? I like he has a way of saying like,
no,
we have to do it this way. We want to be better, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You don't really hear him talking shit about anybody else.
No.
Not like your boy.
Who?
Her Jurgen.
So what's he been saying?
I don't know. He's that another one of his fucking farewell parties.
Oh, he saw it, yeah.
And he was
what
like,
did he say?
He was like talking about Sancho. And he's like, oh, some managers, they think he's useless. I would not pay 80 million for a player and then send him out on loan. And Ten Hag is like fucking 50 cents. Like, what the fuck did I do?
What's he fuck me for?
Yeah.
Ah, just give Klopp his moment, huh?
No, he's had his moment. He's
no,
no. This is Ten Hag's moment.
I'll tell you what I love about the fact that Klopp has now started an Instagram thing. Kloppo, at Kloppo.
Don't be telling him to follow him.
Follow him, guys. But what I like about it is it doesn't have comments on. And, you know, this is like, there's some
coward.
No, you don't need that shit at that age. But, like,
what are you doing on there then?
But do you know why I think it is? I think it's so, it was literally to ease the transition of him not being there. So
fucking precious. Like, oh my God.
Let me tell you something.
You're a grown man.
I, for one, love this new development of like just here's him working on his racquetball game. Here's him getting ready for the party, the big thing.
Grow up.
No, I like him. I can't just, it's like a death. You can't just
you don't want to talk.
It's like a death. It's like a death, right? You can't just, I get it with Fergie, but.
He actually almost died as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, semantics, right? Yeah. But what I'm talking about is Klopp or whoever, like Fergie, someone who's been instrumental.
Don't compare the two.
No,
of them.
I'm not comparing them, but I'm just saying it like someone who's been instrumental in providing you the fucking some of the biggest releases of emotion that you've had.
Oh, jerk off.
And then for
off.
Someone who's been in your life.
Oh, jerk off.
Whatever. I give up. Hey. Totally switching gears, right? I had a bit of an epiphany the other day.
All right.
Okay.
All was good.
I think I got the meaning of life.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I don't know. But anyway. You know, I was doing dishes the other day, right? I don't have a dishwasher. And I'm just, I have them, you know, but you know how washing dishes is. Just ask your hand, huh?
I didn't even wash the dishes when I did this.
Oh, really?
Can you see the scar?
Yeah, let me see again. Yeah, it was a real Harry Potter lightning bolt, didn't it?
You're the second person in 2 days to say that.
Yeah, that's great though. That's what you want. You don't want a boring straight scar.
Whatever.
It's a lightning bolt, man. It could be your fucking fast hand, you know?
It used to be my fast hand. Now it's my...
You're like rookie of the year. You have an accident.
But Andy, you forget how that movie ends.
How did it end?
He opted to go underarm.
Oh, yeah.
And he struck the guy out because the man was in the crowd and she's like,
Floated. Oh, yeah.
And Daniel Stern is
core memory unlocked.
He's locked in the thing going crazy. Yeah.
It's a shame it was him starring in
Thomas Ian Nicholas.
No, oh, of course he's a triple barrel name.
You know who it is.
Yeah, of course I know who that is. Fucking Kevin.
Oh, Kevin, there
yeah,
you
of
go.
Course.
Yeah.
Guys. Here's my impression of him, right? Pack your bags.
Yeah, not bad.
Anyway, but I was doing the dishes, and I was like, you know, I had music on there. I was kind of singing along to it, really feeling it. And then I'm like, washing it.
Don't know much about history.
Yeah, the water's nice and clean, whatever, like warm. I'm just washing it, stacking it up. And I'm like, is this happiness? Do you know what I mean? Is this happiness? Is something as simple as washing dishes? Is this the definition of happiness?
Are you okay? Are you okay? Washing the dishes.
Yeah. It's so nice. It's such a nice little experience. And I'm like, because what I mean
don't
is.
Don't get me wrong.
What I mean is like you're in the flow. You're in the moment. You're not thinking about it now. So it's just me and the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Got it.
Things are getting clean. It's therapeutic. I'm cleaning these.
I totally get it.
I wouldn't
consider it happiness.
Well, maybe happiness.
The meaning to life or whatever the fuck you said.
I think there's something to it.
Because I remember when we used to work in the shop, I would save mopping the floor for the last 10 minutes. And I would go around mop the floor in a little world of my own, little oasis.
But that's what I mean. Something where you're in your own world. I mean, it is happiness.
Maybe to you.
But like, I'm happy doing that.
Okay.
Aren't you happy doing that?
You know.
Don't you have things that you do? Don't you yearn? Don't you have things that you are just a little solo venture, apart from wanking? That's happiness. Sure.
Well, what the fuck did I do?
I just mean men in general.
Okay, yeah.
Like, don't you have a thing like that? Because you clean the kitchen and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Hate doing it.
Do you? Okay.
Hate doing it because I do it every night, and there's fucking food everywhere. Oh, right. 1.5-year-old that loves to throw his food on the ground. So I have to get the Hoover out at 9 o'clock at night. Yeah. Sometimes the mop. The mop doesn't even bring me happiness anymore. Yeah.
It's turned its back on me.
Yeah. I have the dishwasher. I still have to fill the sink to wash the non-dishwashable
items.
But
you know what? I think if you choose to just say to you, instead of going, fucking thing, I got to fucking this. I think if you...
What is this?
I think if you choose... I'm going through... Yeah. I'm going through some stuff there. Yeah. I don't feel this is a safe space anymore for me to...
Of course it's a safe space. This is a comedy podcast.
Just snotted myself.
Don't start crying, man.
I think I need to wipe me up. Oh, no, that's great. All right. Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
I can't remember what my point was.
We're talking about happiness. Well, yeah. I'm glad you're happy.
Whatever, yeah.
I'm glad you're happy. You not get that though when you're out walking the dog or something? When you're in Nate, that's
no,
more,
the dog
I get it.
Annoys me.
All right, would you not go for a walk around the duck pond by yourself or something?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
No?
I'd have to take the dog. Sometimes I love walking with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
If he behaves himself. But if he doesn't, then I'm like, fuck, come here.
Happiness for me.
Please.
You know what I'm going to say.
Go on.
Watching a movie.
Yeah.
I've watched in the last Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You watched This Is the End recently?
Yeah. Watched it yesterday on the way to work. I've watched 5 movies in 5 days.
My God.
And I've never been happier.
But there you go. See, there's the difference, right? Because I hate movies, right? Just full on. This... No, you know, I love doing the pod, love you, but you don't have to say it back.
That one in.
We'll just pause there until you say
it back.
That's
fire there.
But as a result of it, I fucking hate movies so much, okay? Give me, do you know what?
That's hyperbole there.
No, it's not. I hate the movies you make me watch, okay? And this isn't a prerequisite from what I'm going to talk about today.
Okay.
But... You know what I mean? Like, it's a different... You're there going, lovely. Ah, this is great.
Yeah.
This is happiness.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm going, fucking hurry up this fucking... What
is that?
I don't have the attention span for a long movie. You know? That's it. But also, like, I'm very intolerant of something that doesn't grab my attention straight away. I genuinely think you know we're talking about ADHD and like the more I look at it or like sometimes things comes up on TikTok like people with ADHD trying to get something done, I'm like, oh my god, like this is fucking me.
I think we all have it.
I think we've all got,
we've literally had the conversation, me and Faye, and it's like, do you think you have ADHD? I'm like, yeah, and she's like, no, like just genuinely, like, I'm like, a little bit, like I think, you know, I'll get distracted easily. I'll start one thing and then, you know.
Because everything's right there at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's gotten worse.
So the idea that I have to sit here and look at something.
Love that. Then I'm like,
But like, I'd be like that for a match of football. A match of football,
would you?
English is not my first language. You guys see the match of football last night? What a crazy game, huh? But yeah, something like that. But. I don't know.
But yet TV, is it just the length? Like you.
It's just the length.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, do you know what it is? It's because any other walk of life, I'd be like, not that interested. Turn it off. I fucking have to sit and watch it. That's the problem. That if I had carte blanche to be like, we're doing a review of a movie. And I go, Terry, I didn't like it at all. Turn it off after 10 minutes. And then I'm like, okay.
That's not a podcast.
Well, I guess we're not talking about the movie today. But hey, what makes you happy? And you know, something. If I had the ability to just say, nope. Instead of being like, nope, but I have to sit here. I have to fucking sit here and stay here. You coming to bed? Yeah, in an hour or something. I'd love to come to bed now, actually.
This is your idea.
What?
This movies? Whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was. What? I don't think I said movies. I think you actually suckered me in a little bit. No, if I may
we
say.
We used to be a Simpsons podcast, remember?
Yeah.
Remember
we used Did to I say movies?
Yeah. You said you wanted to take what was on the Patreon over to the main feed. And we were doing movies on the Patreon.
Thought I'd have a bit more say over the movies, if I'm being honest. It's fine. Yeah, I love it. I love pun. But anyway, I don't know where we're going after this.
Hey, I watched a TV show.
No, go on.
New TV show. Do you see this thing called The Sympathizer that's out there?
No.
Starring Robert Downey Jr.
Or DJ.
Yeah. It's by Team Downey. Is apparently his production house. And it's A24.
Oh.
They do TV shows now, apparently.
Oh.
But it's directed by Park Chan-wook.
No, I was showing you the time there.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, you're okay? Okay.
Park Chan-wook, my boy, who did Old Boy.
Ah.
He's a Korean guy, right? And he's an unbelievably good director.
Uh-huh.
This is about... Now, it's very interesting because it's based on a book, and it's about the fall of Saigon at the end of the Vietnam War. And it's this guy. His name is just Captain.
Ooh.
I don't know. You don't know his name, but he is Viet Cong from the north, who is in the army in the south as a double agent, and also has a bunch of links to the CIA. And let me tell you, this film smacks of like
smacks ass
of like coked up Scorsese. Ooh. Like the way it's made, it is like. Voice over. Hold on, let me wind the film back a bit. That kind of stuff. You're like, whew. And I'm like, we get this for free on the TV every week.
What's it on?
Well.
Or is it a movie?
No, it's a TV. It's on Sky Atlantic, whatever. Like, okay. You know what I mean? So, not for free, but like.
I was going to say, what phantom channel is this?
It's RTE 2. Even that's not free.
Network 2.
Even that's not free.
Although, is it?
It's RTE 2, man.
Why do that, you know?
It used to be Network 2, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was RTE 1, Network 2.
Yeah, it's RT1 or T2 now, I think.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Nothing's the same, is it?
But it's...
sorry, I'm going through
It's Downey. It's Downey locked in doing kind of like... He's not doing his... Like, it seems like he's completely like thrown away his Tony Stark persona. And I fucking love it. He's back working with serious directors and doing serious shit.
Yeah.
Although in the second episode... And the interesting thing is he plays the white antagonist... Like every white antagonist in the he plays it. So he plays a CIA guy in the first episode. Really cool.
Yeah.
Second episode, he plays like an Asian studies professor. But he's very camp and lispy. And I'm like, I don't know how much I like that performance. And then the CIA guy comes back. Yeah. I'm like, hey, there he is. But he's playing like...
At least he's giving you different things.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just giving you Robert Downey Jr. in this movie.
Yeah, you know. Like,
kind of like Brad Pitt does in his own way.
I disagree with you there completely.
I'm not even going to bother.
Did you see?
He's in some movie, Wolves. Him and, what is it, Clooney?
Cloontang!
So that they're both individual hitmen?
No,
or?
They're cleaners. So like they got you accidentally killed somebody.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Like Harvey Keitel right. in Pulp Fiction.
And oh, the wolf.
Yeah,
Wolves. Mm. I do like the...
I love that.
The title.
That arch, like...
Because, like, we're both solo. We're not a team.
Yeah.
But we both are going to the same
Two
job.
Two lone wolves.
You know that'll be good. They have great chemistry, don't they?
Unbelievable, like, yeah. You know?
That's... I feel like the only time I like Brad Pitt is when he's unlocked by Clooney, you know?
I mean...
And they have a fucking...
The Ocean's movies.
Sexy off. Sexy man off.
Yeah, I mean, you know? They're both sexy men.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
yeah, that'd be good. I wouldn't mind watching that now.
September.
More interested in that than the Robert Downey Jr. thing you were talking about.
I mean,
Robert Downey Jr. does, I tell you, does absolutely nothing for me.
Yeah, but when we watch Oppenheimer, you're going to be like,
let me tell you something. Terry. I'm never going to watch Oppenheimer. Ever.
You're just.
I'm never going to watch Oppenheimer.
Who's that?
I'm Philip Seymour Hoffman. Nice. I'm Philip Seymour Hoffman, Terry.
Because I'm uncool.
I can't even think of a line that he would say that I could try and emulate.
I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to kill her.
Okay, let me try that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill you, and then...
I mean, that wasn't bad.
I'm going to kill you. No, I'm getting further away. I'm going to kill you, and then... No.
Give me your Tom Cruise.
I need a line. I need a line. I can't... I draw a blank when I'm...
Okay, yeah.
You give me your Tom Cruise. And then
I don't think I have a Cruise in my locker, to be honest. Like, I don't think I do.
The fucking... Kind of, I thought of something else to say.
Yeah.
I feel like I could have had it there. Every do fucking... Go on.
Do your fucking job, Janet!
That's not bad. Yeah, I like the little...
You gotta get the voice pitch there. Like. Yeah.
Do your fucking job! No.
Yeah, that's not bad.
A bit more Tom DeLonge. Do your job.
Yeah, there's something in my mission.
Impossible. Anyway, we'll get on that. We'll get more of that on our Patreon episode. Folks, if you didn't have a good enough reason to check out our Patreon, I've subjected Terry. You know, but he's always subjecting me to this shit. Well, I subjected him to 5 early 2000s emo bangers.
I have a lot to say on it.
Brilliant. But save it.
Yeah. Why don't we get into a bit of Tom Cruise? Talking Tom.
Please, Talking Tom.
Paul Newman, Tom Cruise, in a Martin Scorsese picture.
He's got the eye, he's got the stroke, he's got the flake.
This is the best.
We got a racehorse here, a thoroughbred. You make him feel good. I teach him how to run.
I'm not your daddy. I'm not your boyfriend. So don't be playing games with me. I'm your partner.
I love this.
You're an incredible flake. But that's a gift.
Lost money.
I got half of me that says I got a hold of the best thing that I ever seen, and half of me that says it just ain't worth it.
Why don't you take a walk? $500 says you choke right now.
You used me.
Yes, I did.
I'm gonna leave.
This is Fast Eddie Felsen. Who the hell are you?
25 years ago, I won my share of medals. But it was over for me before it really got started. Hungry again.
See some heavy legend action.
I won his best game.
You want my game? You couldn't deal with my game, Jack. You're outmanned.
I'm gonna beat him, you know.
What makes you so sure?
Touchstone Pictures presents.
You smell what I smell? Smoke?
Money.
The Color of Money.
That was the trailer for 1986's The Color of Money, starring Paul Newman, Tom Cruise. Now, let me get this right. Mary Antonia Mastroianni. No,
no, you bottled the last name.
Mary Elizabeth Mastroantonio.
Well, kind of close. Directed, Macaroni.
Directed by Martin Scorsese.
Big body.
Now, can I ask you, just while we're talking about Miss Mastroantonio.
Okay.
Do you know where she's from?
She did look familiar.
It was a massive movie that we've all seen.
Oh, fuck. Is it Die Hard?
Nope.
No.
Around that time, though. I think 1990,
91. Oh, no.
Huge movie. I'll give you a clue who's in the movie with her.
Okay.
Alan Rickman is actually in the movie with her.
Die Hard?
No, not Die Hard. What's his other big movie?
Dogma. Dogma?
No. Around the early 90s.
No.
Morgan Freeman is in it?
No. No, I don't know.
If I gave you the lead...
Give me the lead.
Give it away. Kevin Costner.
Field of Dreams.
What's his big, big, big movie?
Waterworld?
No! What's his big smash hit movie? Brian Adams did the music for it, the big song for it.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Yeah.
Got it.
There you go. Got it in one. I can't ever remember. What's the quote that from Men in Tights with the sheriff? you always do.
Hey Abbott?
No, you're like, Nah, I'm putting you on the spot then.
Oh, fuck, what is it?
When you're like, he's saying the words in the wrong order.
Oh, do I always do that?
Yeah, used to always, man. When you were beautiful.
Well, hey, still the movie I think I've seen more times than any other movie in my life.
You know what makes it great?
Yeah.
And what makes it successful is Cary Elwes plays it completely straight.
Totally straight.
He plays it as if he's in an Errol Flynn
movie.
And everybody else is like Dave Chappelle is like pumping up his sneakers beside him. But like
a black sheriff, he's black. It's like, hey Blinken, hold the reins, man. Like,
Abe Lincoln?
Did you say Abe Lincoln?
For me, I knew that film was gonna be amazing when they're walking through and like the hands are like reaching up from the grates and like they whip them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They go down and they come back up and they're sticking the fingers up. Yeah,
God, that's a great movie.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it one day.
That's what we should do.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was he? Anyway, never mind.
Can I take a stab at the budget?
Gonna say it's 4 million.
14.5 million.
Wow. And it's all there on the screen.
Opening?
Not. I mean, it's not really. That's not me saying it on the movie. It just didn't look like a 14 million pound. Sorry, pound. What is wrong with me?
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure that out for years. What was the
opening
next
weekend?
Question? 5 million.
6 million.
He's back, baby.
Now, if we had had that at 10%.
Yeah, but we don't.
You would have been out. Domestic total?
28 million.
52 million.
Oh.
It was a hit.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes?
Critics, I would say 79.
88.
Shit.
Audience?
79.
73.
Ugh,
one
off.
So close. I mean, they didn't have a domestic total, was the worldwide total.
Okay.
It made no money overseas.
Well.
Oscars?
Please. Best.
Four nominations.
Best actor?
Mm-hmm.
Paul Newman?
Yeah.
Wow.
He won it, Andy.
Did he?
It was first Oscar, and he'd been nominated like 7 times before.
Was that one of those, like, okay, like,
no, it was actually,
when's he going to be up again?
No.
Is this body of work?
Because they'd given him an honorary award beforehand.
Yeah, but
like the year before.
Yeah, but that's like it was actually just a diploma to the University of Michigan. You know, like, no, you didn't really go there though, did you?
I mean, he went there in this movie. it was more that, like, you're saying, like, it's not his best performance, but like a lot of the times when he was nominated, like, he was in like a really strong field.
That's what I mean. Do you think they thought, look?
No, I think just this year, like, I think he deserved to win it this year. Right, like, but it was like the field was weaker than it had been like 2 years earlier.
Best movie?
Was not nominated for
best director?
Nope.
Best cinematography?
Nope.
Nah.
Best adapted screenplay?
Okay.
Richard Price. It lost to Room of the View. Best art direction? Also lost to Room of the View. And best supporting actress?
You won?
Carmen. Ah. I can't pronounce her name. Mary.
Carmen Macaroni.
Mastrantonio.
Yeah.
She lost to Diane Wiest.
She really should have changed her name.
I was listening to rewatchables on this on my commute over, and that was one of the things they mentioned, because it was like, what happened to her? You know, your career kind of petered out, and it was like, maybe her name was too hard to pronounce. And one of them was like, I mean, I had trouble pronouncing it at the start of this podcast.
Yeah, even it's when tough, it's written like, in front of you, it's like, hard to pronounce.
My handwriting is terrible at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment? Yeah, worse than ever because of my hand, my claw.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I said that to Faye yesterday. I left somebody a note in work, and then I ran into them and I had to explain the note. And Faye was like, that's what it is. Because I'd done the shopping list 2 weeks, and I was like, I couldn't read anything you had written out. Like,
I do find your hand, even before the accident.
It's worse now.
It's like a doc, like only a doctor would understand. It's a pharmacist's handwriting.
That's the way I like it. I don't want anybody to know what I'm thinking.
You may as well be writing one of those invisible pens that you can color in and only you can see.
Disappearing and reappearing ink. Okay, you want some IFs?
Please.
Martin Scorsese had said he mainly did this at the insistence of Paul Newman and to prove that he could make a mainstream studio budget that would be finished on time and under budget.
And was it?
It was his only film that's ever been on time and under budget. And that was because Newman... So this is a sequel to The Hustler, like, yeah. Which is 1961... where he played Fast Eddie Wilson, yeah. And it's basically like this. There was a sequel book that was written for this, like with the same character. So Newman come back. It was a big deal that it was like, you know, that was kind of the movie that got him really famous. It's again, big pool hustling.
Yeah,
and to have this character, you know, literally 25 years later, yeah. And he says it in the movie, like, I haven't played in 25 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a big deal, but he was very hands on and he was like, we got to do
this. Because they couldn't really do it without him.
Yeah,
really,
he's the character, like, yeah. You know what I mean? So he kept Scorsese on track.
How would that work? Like, how would the actor, once the production's in full swing, what's he doing?
It was different Hollywood then, like, you know, and like Newman.
He's Paul Newman.
Yeah, he's right. Paul Newman, you know what I mean? And he's not an asshole either. It's just.
Right.
He was like, look, we got to do this right or whatever right. like that. Like, and Scorsese, at this point in his career, he made Raging Bull in 1980.
Yeah.
Didn't win the Oscar for it. And it was kind of like, okay, made King of Comedy, which was his next film after that, which was like critically good. It was a bomb.
Right.
And he was in kind of like no man's land because he couldn't get Last Temptation of Christ up off the ground.
Right. He did that, did he?
Yeah. He did it years later, but he couldn't get it up off the ground because he was kind of like, well, King of Comedy made like $7.
Right, right.
So that fell apart from, and then he made a movie called After Hours, which is fucking brilliant. It's all, you know, Griffin Dunne?
No.
It's all about him running around New York on a Friday night.
Hey, 80s?
80s.
80s New York?
85.
Scuzzy New York?
Oh, the scuzziest.
Brilliant.
The whole thing is, he goes downtown to get laid, and then he can't find a taxi to get back up, runs into all these characters, all these different like crazy things. Everybody's mental.
After Hours.
Yeah, so exactly. So it's over the course of...
All right.
Very, very good. But, he kind of been on a, like, I can't do much, and... Basically, Newman had picked Cruise to be in this with him. It was kind of like, this is the passing of the torch type thing. But he picked Scorsese to do it as well. And it was kind of like Scorsese said, I felt like a guy for hire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is not my passion project. I haven't done anything. I've just kind of come on here.
Yeah.
But like, it was so successful. And for working with Cruise, he made a like connection with this guy, Michael Ovitz, who was like head of one of the studios. Which eventually helped him get Goodfellas made right. 4 years later. And after this, he got to make Last Temptation of Christ. So it was a big kind of like turning point in his career, which is, I found, very interesting.
Interesting.
Newman said the best piece of direction he ever got was from Scorsese, saying, try not to be funny.
How? In what context?
I think it was just like...
Was he trying to be funny?
No, I think because like he was in like Slapshot and stuff like that where he's like a fun, like a gruff kind of funny character. And this, you could see it going that way.
But was Scorsese talking about this movie in particular?
Yeah, he's like, try, like, be straight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Serious. Like.
Yeah, and there are parts of it where I thought he was funny.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise did all his own pool shots.
I heard...
Except one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, except one. So, like, he bought a pool table and would practice for, like, he put it in his apartment and practice for hours upon hours. But the only shot that's not him in the movie is when they're playing in the final game and he jumps over
the
balls. That was, like, done by one of the nine ball.
I remember seeing, like, I didn't know much about this movie, but I remember back when I used to listen to Joe Rogan and he was talking about, because he was a big pool guy, and he was talking about The Color of Money, and he was saying that Tom Cruise, for that movie, like, worked with, I can't remember the guy's name, but at the time was, like, the best pool
player. He's the guy that did the jump.
Right.
Yeah.
So he did that
and
himself.
He was, like, on set.
But by all accounts, I mean, like, you know, he's, like, you know, he made Tom Cruise, like, a really good pool player, like, you know.
You can see it in it. I'm, like, looking at these shots. I'm, like, that's a one shot. and he's just sunk like three in a row or whatever like that. Like, I don't really have much else to be honest. Like, I would rather get into it and let me hear your notes. What did you think?
Do you know what? I did enjoy it. Okay. But I would say it was a very, what's the word? There was no peaks or troughs, really. The stakes weren't that high. You know what I mean? It was just kind of marched along and then it was over. I mean, I enjoyed, like, I could watch him and Paul Newman just, like, if the movie was just an hour and a half of them playing pool with no dialogue, just the sound of the pool balls.
Watching snooker.
Yeah. But it's them two. I think I would have enjoyed it too. But I kind of thought, like, it's interesting what you said about Scorsese being like kind of for hire, because it seemed like quite an, not an un-Scorsese movie, but I felt like his wings were clipped a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, with the story that he was given, that it kind of had to be this story. Because I kind of think, I would have liked to see Scorsese, hey, nothing against my man TC, of course, but I probably would have liked to have seen Scorsese explore Paul Newman's character on his own or something. Him getting back in. It felt quite formulaic.
I mean, it kind of is. That's until it isn't, you know what I mean? Like, they do a bit where it's like, see, this is why I was saying it's a good pairing with Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's another legacy sequel. You're at a point in your career where, like, you're out, you know, you're obsolete. This is the new generation that need to be brought along.
Yeah.
And then by the end, it's like, no, fuck that. Like, I'm not giving it to these guys. I still have it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's like, that's like, I kept thinking about that when I saw Top Gun Maverick, and then I watched this during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was like, I was like, no, this is okay. This time around watching it, I was like,
maybe because you know what it is now, but I think going in and you hear in the words like Scorsese, Cruise, Newman, like, you know all this, and a movie title that I've heard a lot about, and I expected it to be a bit more, you know, loud, you know.
But like, it kind of is though, because like, you get at the start and it's like Scorsese doing the like nine ball rule thing,
yeah,
and then the ash, the smoke. And it's just on the smoke, and it's like, boom,
boom. Music was good.
I'm like, Robbie Robertson is going off.
Yeah, what was? Yeah, I seen his name in the credits. So
he's Scorsese's guy since The Last Waltz. He does all the music. He did like Killers of the Flower Moon score.
Did he?
And it's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, that was his last movie.
I just can't.
Because like, they've been thick as teeth, and like, that's the whole thing with The Last Waltz.
Is he a prick?
Well, he kind of seems it, but also like, maybe not. I don't know. But like, Levon Helm was like, The Last Waltz is the biggest piece of shit.
Oh, really? He didn't like it?
He's like, it's just Robbie Robertson because he's best buddies with Scorsese after they made it. It's like, we're barely in it.
I love Levon. He's my favorite member of the band. Yeah.
Mine is Rick Danko.
Is that one?
Poor sweet Rick.
Sam, wait a minute, Chester.
You know, I'm a peaceful man. But like,
I kind of thought like, you know, yeah, like if Newman's character had have been free to sort of like, I kind of felt like there wasn't room for him to be rediscovering. Like, is this, are we talking to him? Like, who's the focal point here? And also,
Newman.
And also, is he?
Yeah.
Because then, well, then don't give me too. I can't believe I'm saying this, but then don't give me that much Cruise. And also, here's my problem with Cruise in the movie. I felt like his character really didn't learn anything.
Well, that's the point.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's always the point. Yeah. Every time I come up with a sensible, logical argument about why a movie doesn't work, that was intentional.
Because he's a little fucking sap. He's a little, they talk about it. He's a flake. He's a jerk.
Yeah, but I want my characters to develop.
But Newman does that. He realizes that it's not all about the fucking, you know, the money or whatever. That it's about being actually the joy you get from winning, as opposed to the joy of winning money.
Yeah.
The joy of being the best. There's your development right there.
Yeah.
Hence why he lays down at the end. He's like, this is bullshit. I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I want to beat him.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they have the game at the end.
Yeah.
Can I tell
I'm
you?
Back.
I forgot What a cool motherfucker Paul Newman is.
He just oozes.
Like,
cool,
literally, when your one is like, I get it off at 10. He's like, no, without me, you don't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, he's like, an omelet. He's like, I made you an omelet. I was like, come make me an omelet. Like, please.
I'll be putty in your hands.
Yeah. And, like, just the looks he, like, gives.
I seen a thing of him in his younger years, and I was like,
man.
Whoa,
smoke
striking.
Show
striking. Yeah. And you know what, like, and Kerry hates when I do this because I do this all the time, but like, I find it mad that like the equivalent today would be if the original came out in 99.
Yeah,
that's the difference between 61 and 86. And I know, and every time I say it to Kerry, she's like, will you fucking stop comparing years to years?
Like,
but like, the difference being like, that just doesn't, like, what is it about that? Like, fucking
doesn't seem that way, and I don't think about
civilization.
It.
I think changed so much. Anyway, that's a different conversation. Yeah,
that's one for the start of next week's podcast when you're having another existential crisis.
Okay, I'll save it for then.
Like when Tom Cruise, like, I thought it was so well done. When you hear the crack,
ooh,
and then like he's whipping his head around.
You
like,
can tell just like, from the crack.
John Turturro coming over, yeah, being like, "I need $20." And then he's back again. He's like, "You working for me or him?"
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it kind of tells you everything you need to know. Like, yeah, he sells whiskey, maybe, you know,
yeah,
like,
he's,
you
like,
know,
some sort
he's
of
like a bootlegger.
Salesman.
Like,
yeah,
he sells cheap whiskey, and you can put it in these bottles and pass it off as Wild Turkey, you know. But really, like, he is still a hustler.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
do you know, like,
and like to when they do, like, there's so many great scenes. Like the whole thing where he's like, I bet you a dollar that guy is going to hit on, you know, he's going to strike out with that girl.
Yeah, in 30 seconds.
And then
yeah,
like, he's like, oh, I was a couple of seconds off here. He's like, I tell you what, the meal will pay for if like I can get this girl to go home with me. And of course he knows her.
He brings
her out. But it's like, it's a con movie for a lot of it. It's a con movie until it isn't.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes like a sports movie.
Yeah.
And then it turns back into a con movie and almost like Paul Newman, like, no, I don't want to be in a con movie. I want to be in the sports movie. I want to win the big game.
You know,
I tell you, I fucking loved this movie. This time around, I thought it was okay first time watching. And
right.
And then this time watching, I was like, the fucking camera is going everywhere.
What,
like,
was it? Was there some special thing Scorsese was doing to track the balls?
So they had like a lipstick camera, which is like a tiny one that, like, that's how you're getting all those shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Around it, but like, even the scene where he's like, they're trying to get Vincent to come, he'd leave his job at Child World,
yeah,
which is apparently a real business.
It's like a toy store or something.
Yeah, it's a it's a baby emporium where you buy all your baby shit. But like, when he says something to Carmen, whisper something, and she's kind of like his stage mother.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, again, Vincent, again.
Yeah.
And he whispers something in her ear to like go outside, and he'd kind of tell her like, she's going, you know, she's pulling away from you.
Yeah.
The tracking shot of it, like, of it comes down the stairs and then goes back up, and you see like Newman just kind of whisper something in her ear. She goes out and it kind of floats down again, and Tom Cruise is playing pool and he's like, did you see my girlfriend?
Yeah.
And I was like, look at this fuck, like, even mid-tier Scorsese, he's like, fuck, he's going off.
He's the man.
Yeah,
like,
you know?
Like, if you he's probably the only director that you could tell me, like, it's a Scorsese movie. And I'd be like, okay, great, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one else. I'd be like, he's got some stinkers, or, I'm not, you know, but with Scorsese. Even though, like, I didn't like, what's that one that we covered with Ed Salmon?
Yeah, that's one that I was excited.
Yeah, what was that one called?
Bringing Out the Dead,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
But this one, like, there's just, I don't know, you're looking at Cruise, and, like, there's a couple of bits in it where you're like, he shows up to, they've had a bit of a falling out at the Black Pool Hall or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, fine, you're a kid or whatever, because he's, like, telling them to cool it.
Yeah.
And then he's like lying there. He's like, oh, babysitting or whatever, fucking childcare.
Yeah, yeah.
And they also have the bit where he's like, put your fucking pants, clothes back on to the girl. I mean, a bit of boob.
She looked great. A bit of side boob. Yeah. I love a nice open shirt.
Yeah.
And nothing else, you know.
You're going to get yourself cancelled, man. But when he goes back to the pool hall, and like, before he gets to like Cruise, just the way he does this, where he's like, what you got in there? He has the babushka or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
And he's like, he opens it and he's like, doom. Yeah. And like the fucking
his face.
Smile and his, and like, man, he's like, and then you have the fucking Werewolves of London.
Yeah, that was great. That was, I love that.
And like, again, it's one taker for most of it. And yeah, it's following him fucking around, potting the balls, dancing, singing to the song.
He's, by the way, he's really good at fucking...
Oh,
with
man.
The, with the pool like, cue, like flinging it around and all.
Like you want him to do more. Of, yeah. Like, you know, he's really fallen into the action movie thing the last 20-something yeah. years. And I hope he will go back to it. But like, it's really interesting to me watching these earlier ones. And you're like, man... Yeah, he's literally jumping off the screen here at me.
He
like,
is.
You know, like
pre Scientology cruise as well. Yeah. Like that's there was something quite nice about seeing a young pre Scientology.
But like
you know, like he's on the up. You know, he had just done Top Gun, had he at that point?
Yeah, he had to actually go back and reshoot parts of Top Gun while filming this.
Really?
But the because his hair is so much longer and bigger. The scene that they had to do was like they had to wet his hair. He's like he's just out of the shower and he's like has a towel on or whatever like that, like which I found quite interesting.
That's funny.
But like him doing that and then like you know Paul Newman teaching him the lessons. Like he's been kind of hustling Tom Cruise for the most part.
Yeah.
And what I found really interesting was when Paul Newman gets hustled.
Yeah.
And with, like I never picked up on it the first time I watched it, but Forrest Whitaker. You can tell it's so such a hustle.
Yeah.
Straight away.
So obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Where he's like, double or nothing? You know, like when he's kind of too eager.
Yeah.
To do it. He's like, I never, that's a total just
accident.
Look. That's just luck. I never done that before.
That's not bad.
That's
well,
not bad, right? That's
I don't
not
know.
Bad.
Kind of just at the very end, literally the last part.
I've you never went done off. That before.
Yeah. Looks like you've had a bad night, friend.
The bit.
If you'll remember that one from his coveted role in. Brainwave on the Patreon.
There's so many there's bits in this where it's like it's pure movie where they're doing the hustle and it's like two strangers and a brother or whatever and like fucking Paul Newman is like groping your Carmen and then he's like $500 and then he's like I'll go 1,000 and like the look on Paul Newman I'm like fuck like I'm like he's a
I got this motherfucker now.
But like just I'm like he's got me by doing that I'm like this is movies this is what movies are like this is how you do it any, like any of you punks out there watching today
talking to the directors
okay. I'm talking directly to you Miles Teller to you
you know what like it's like I didn't have that myself. Like I'm finding it hard to think. You know what I mean? Like maybe I'm looking at it. Like you said, the first time you saw it, you thought it was okay.
I thought it was okay. I think I was really depressed and high watching it, like in like 2020, 2021.
Maybe that was my problem yesterday.
You got to be a little less depressed and a little less high.
Yeah, maybe it was just the wrong time to watch it. But I kind of thought like I was just. Like I said, like the stakes just didn't seem that high. And I was kind of like, I don't really care if they do it or don't. You know what I mean? It's not like, we have to do this or blah, blah. It's not, I'm not saying all movies have to be like that. Sometimes it is nice to have a very grounded in reality sort of movie. And I used to almost exclusively only like those. If you remember, before we did the MCU, I was like, I don't like any of this unrealistic shit. You know, like... and... So, like, I've changed since then, but I just thought this one was just... I just wanted... I suppose I was expecting more.
I mean...
You know?
There's something like... I don't know. It's just for me, I was like, this is so cool. Like, everything about it. And like,
it was cool.
I appreciated the way it was shot, the music, the fucking... The look, like, the dress.
That's what I mean, like, I didn't mind... Like, I liked looking at it. Mm. You know, it wasn't like, oh, this fucking... Like, a lot of them, you know? I was like, oh, this is... I'm happy with this, but I'm like... You know
the dress sense of like Paul Newman, where he has the fucking glasses and the turtleneck. I'm like, man, has there ever been a cooler guy? Like, I don't know. You know, the bit where they're at. Just a couple of last things. The bit where they're at Atlantic City and there's a woman singing "The Girl from Ipanema." Mm. I was like, every time I hear that song, all I think of is Jim Carrey in The Cable Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, click. Sorry there. It's a bit at the end, like, I'm back. I just had, like, The fucking the last shot, the way the movie ends, it's good, just like he's like, I'm back, boom, like freeze frame, like down.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Bow. I'm like, yeah.
They don't end movies like that anymore. They don't. I'll tell you that. Like,
I did have a thought that I think Vince is on coke or on speed or something.
He's a certainly
by the
like
end.
It. Oh, by the end.
Because when, he's like fun loving and playful throughout most of the start. If not, if a little volatile when it comes to you know his love. But then, like, when he shows up at Atlantic City, it's like they've been pushing really hard. And he's like,
yeah,
I got to go get rest. Mm. You know, I come back in 3 hours. And
has
like,
that been, does anyone else have a similar?
I don't know. Like, Paul Newman has kind of said, like, oh, in the movie earlier on, he's like, when I was, it was booze. It wasn't coke and speed. And like John Turturro, who we haven't even mentioned yet.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. Yeah, he's great. He's like has coke all the time on his nose.
You know,
right. he's like wipe your nose when you come out of the toilet.
Okay.
And like the bit actually with him earlier on, I was like, this is just him auditioning for Jesus. Like, I'm gonna stick that pool cue up your ass.
Yeah, I know.
He's at the window. He's like, fuck that guy.
Yeah. Like so many people in this, where I'm like, is that your man? You know, like
Beansy.
A man.
Beansy was in it.
It was Beansy
from The Sopranos. You know, Richie Aprile crushes his legs.
Oh yeah.
He's like the guy where he's, because this is why I was thinking, it's like 1200 and she's like 1500 and he's like,
yeah
1500, 12 o'clock, and then Tom Cruise is like, you couldn't have gone for 2000.
Yeah
like, Vincent, easy. Like,
do you know what, this total side note, but I loved when he was starting to play pool at some part, some scene, and he's just got a black t-shirt that just says Vince.
I want to get that t-shirt.
I was thinking, the first thought I thought of was like, Terry would fucking love that t-shirt.
Do you ever want to get me a present, folks? Give me that Vince t-shirt.
Simple black t-shirt with Vince, white, thick, bold font that just says Vince.
So fucking good. And like, I love how Paul Newman's like, wear the shirt. It's a good touch.
Yeah.
And like, even when they're playing and he's like, oh, nine ball, you know, it's barely pool or whatever, and he's like, a lot of people are doing it, and like a lot of people are doing it, you know.
Yeah,
somebody's got to be the best, and he's looking at Newman
like that,
and taking the shot. I'm like, fucking it's hell,
like Shooter McGavin, like, here's a free lesson.
But it's Tom Cruise.
I loved, you know what, it was such a novelty seeing Cruise. The novelty for me was seeing Cruise in a movie like this, like a young Cruise.
It stands to him throughout the 80s and 90s. He was working with everybody. Like, he wanted to work with all the auteurs.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott, you know, you got Scorsese, Tony Scott, you got De Palma, like, as it goes on, Kubrick, PTA. Anyone he hasn't worked with really is, like, Tarantino. And, like, there's been rumors.
I heard about his upcoming movie that Cruise might be.
It's cancelled.
Oh, is it? Why?
He decided he doesn't want to do it, Tarantino.
Oh, just like that?
Yeah, guess what?
What?
Tarantino won't do it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, so that is a shame.
So I heard Cruise was possibly been lined up for that.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be, what it turned out was going to actually, Brad Pitt's character from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was going to be in it.
So right.
Cliff Booth was going to be in it. And then maybe Tom Cruise as well.
Imagine. Just give
get them back together.
Just give me, just give me Cruise. Give me Pitt. Give me all the 90s heartthrobs and put them in a movie together. Get Tom Cruise in that Wolf's movie as well.
Okay. I'll make a call.
Please.
Yeah. Because they were talking about Cruise kind of taking over the mantle from Newman.
Yeah.
And not really. I think a closer person would be DiCaprio is more like Newman.
Yeah.
In that, like, he could have fucking 20 Oscar noms. We could still go make the biggest movie in the world, you know?
But is there... Who's the equivalent of Newman now in the sense
DiCaprio,
of...
DiCaprio,
like,
I think.
But, like, in the sense of, like, a man's man sort of actor. Do you know what I mean?
Very few.
Is there any?
Men?
Yeah, like a man's man sort of, like... They're like the sort of man that every other man... Men want to be him, women want to be with him.
But because it's so toxic now, there's nobody like that.
You can't be too much of a man.
It's like, it's like, oh, Jared Butler, of course, that's the one. It's no, not him. Jason Statham, like, no, not him. Like, go through it, go through the list. Like,
I suppose the men.
Clooney would have been it, I guess.
Clooney, if Clooney was a bit more active still.
Yeah, like Clooney in the, like, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, early 2010s.
Yeah.
You're like, he's the guy that's closest to like a 60s
icon, you know, or 60s, 70s icon. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's so. Who I would say, you know, that's because if you think of somebody else like, oh, Damon or Affleck, they're like, no, they're children. They're not men, like, you know.
It needs to be, and I think men's men aren't probably the A-listers anymore. You know what I mean? Like men, although like, I wouldn't say DiCaprio. Like, DiCaprio is a little bit, a little bit of a softness to DiCaprio.
But also, there's, like, weirdness to DiCaprio. It's like, why, you know, like, Newman had a wife who was of the same age as him and was successful and was his equal. DiCaprio doesn't have that.
No,
you know, he has.
But I wouldn't mark that against him in any way.
No, but it's, you know, it kind of takes away from the man's man thing. Like Newman. Yeah. Newman is so comfortable in anything.
Yeah,
like, there's pictures of Paul Newman in like a pink bathrobe with like bottles of beer. Like, he's just stumbled out of the house, and I'm like, he doesn't give a shit. Like, and, like, really short shorts, and like, he doesn't give a shit because he's so comfortable in himself.
Yeah,
and that's a very rare thing to have. There's, because everybody is so insecure. They define me. You know.
Yeah, true.
There's very few that you're like that. Like Clooney, you're kind of like, he's cool. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like he wouldn't want to be seen looking like not the in the best. You know what I mean?
I could see it, maybe, but it's hard.
Actually, DiCaprio, I might have him on that. Can you remember that picture of him with the water going like in the beach? He's got his big belly.
You know, you know who it is.
Yeah,
and you're not gonna like it.
Go on,
Chris Pine is actually
He wishes that, no, this is the exact opposite. He's a fucking tryhard. He's trying to do that.
I don't think,
and he's got you and everyone else duped into thinking that he's this fucking cool, sexy bandsman. He's not.
What is he then?
He's a Clooney wannabe. That's what he is.
Chris Pine.
Yeah, am I thinking of the right person?
From
Chris Pine, who fucking spat on Harry Styles.
Other way around. Harry Styles spat on him.
Yeah, the same with that guy. Yeah, he's a fucking Clooney wannabe.
I don't know. In terms of just not giving a shit and being comfortable, I think he's
that's all. I think that's all that matters. Right, Bradley Cooper, maybe?
No, he's like... Okay. He's
we're getting further.
Yeah, he's like so insecure. Like, he's like, I want everyone to love me. I made Maestro. Didn't you see how hard it was? And it was like, it was great, buddy, but you know, you're kind of weirding us all out with your neediness. Like, he's like Anne Hathaway, like the weird theater kid.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, like, I don't know if you ever seen that clip of him on Actors Studio, and it's just like he's in the audience asking a question, and you're like, wow. What weird energy this kid is giving off. This, like, young...
Oh, I did see that,
It's real, like...
It's true, actually. Yeah, he's a real teenager.
What would you give? What would you give it rating-wise?
I would give it a 6 out of 10.
6?
Yeah. Oof. I mean, it was okay. Kind of like what you thought the first time.
Yeah, right? I thought maybe you might go as high as 7.
7 is pretty high up for me. For a man who hates movies. To give us anything a 6, I think, is good. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the performances. I just didn't really love the plot. It was a bit too, dare I say, humdrum for me. Okay.
9 for me. 3 for
Everything's
three.
Everything's all right. this fucking guy, huh? It's like, yeah, that was pretty good. I'm gonna give it a 9.99 out of 10.
Now, but this is like it's a jump up.
Yeah,
I would have been a 7 before, and this time around, I'm like, I was blown away, blown, Andy, blown.
Well, good.
Cruise popped way more for me this time, and I've seen a lot of Newman. Like, I love him. I think he was one my dad introduced me to when I was
nice.
And I was like, this guy is fucking cool. Like,
yeah,
you know, when I was 16 or whatever, I'm like, how do I be that?
Yeah,
and I've still never achieved it, and I never will.
Some say we never will.
Well, we can, 20th Century Fox is betting yes. But so, like, you know, seeing him this time around, I was just like, I thought he was a little bit... I was like, he won the Oscar for this. And this time around, I'm like, you know what? Like, he's fucking good. And seeing who he's up against, I was like, he definitely was better than all those.
Yeah, but seeing, like, him win an Oscar for this, and then, like, I know the Oscars are bullshit, but, like, Al Pacino can't win for The Godfather 2.
Yeah, but if they're up against each other, if Godfather 2 came out in 86, Al Pacino wins.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's stupid, though. He should have one. I mean, does Al Pacino
have one? He won it for Son of a Woman.
Hoo-ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Freddie?
Line reading?
Well, first of all, Ed Harris.
For excellence in acting?
For excellence in acting.
I'm going to go Tom Cruise.
Are you?
Yeah. Because yeah. I know you're going to go Newman.
He's so. He won the Oscar for Best Actor, and he is.
Line reading.
The Daniel Day-Lewis Peachtree Dance Line Reading Award.
I liked the money one is... What's the fucking line? It's sweeter than money earned. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's there for me. I think there's a couple. Actually, hold on. I want to get my notes up here.
Hold on.
There's a line where she's like, he's like, you got to be the best. And she's like, are you the best liquor salesman? He's like, you betcha. And like, just like slams down on the car. I thought it was fucking good, great. Yeah. What else did I have? Oh, the one I go for, actually, the 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where he's like, he's waving the 500 rounds, like, want to go for 1,000? And like, just his look then. Yeah. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Great movie, man.
All right. Well, look, That's that.
That's the episode.
That's that. Folks, if you want to catch us, and we're about to record straight after this, if you just can't get enough of this riveting content, well, please step back off the ledge, because I am about to get Terry's opinion on some of the... And I was listening to it today. I had goosebumps, Terry. And I'm like, I can't wait to hear how much he loves, how much I've cracked his hard exterior. So if you want that, and you want about 200 other episodes, and if you want early access to this, and if you also want 2 bonus episodes a month, check us out on Patreon. It's patreon.com/whatssogreatabout. It's only $5 a month. We got a great community over there. I fucking love everyone on our Patreon.
Patrons are fantastic.
And if you're a fantastic person, you know where you need to be.
Give us $5.
Well, but don't say that. Yeah. But yeah, get something for it too. You're just giving us the money.
It's less than the cost of a pint. Put it that way.
Yeah.
How many pints a week do you drink?
Will a pint make you feel as good as listening to our content?
Our descent into madness for last week's episode. It was a doozy.
I haven't even listened back to that.
It's wild.
Was it?
Yeah. We are losing our minds.
Yeah, but if you want to hear that, folks, that's where you find it. But what else can they do for us, Terry?
If you can't afford the €5, well, you can do something else for us. You can give us a rating and review. 5 stars, Andy.
What the hell is this?
I don't know.
Sorry, I'm waiting. The best part of this, your bit, is when you quickly go, Andy. That's what I'm waiting for.
Andy!
Yeah!
In this movie, Paul Newman goes double or nothing 4 times with Amos, a.k.a. Forrest Whitaker. But I don't want a 4-star review. I want a 5-star review. It won't happen again, all right?
Please make sure that it doesn't, Terry.
It won't happen again.
Surprise me in rehearsal, Terry. Yeah. Don't surprise me live on mic.
So
that's it.
If you can, you know, that really helps grow the pod, get some new ears listening, and gets us back in the chart, puts you guys right back in our hearts.
You know, listenership's been up slightly lately. It's more of a in the car on the way home sort of conversation.
Good. But that's always welcome.
I'll break down the numbers off mic, but yeah.
Up means good.
Up is good.
Yay.
In short, all the lines go up, so I'm happy.
But next week, we're going to have a guest on, possibly. Mm-hmm. I never count our chickens before we hatch. But we had such a fun time with Hannah last week.
Yeah, it was great.
We're going to bring on another funny person to make us seem even funnier.
And we're going to be talking about aliens?
Dollar sign? Alien dollar sign.
Soul. So hear us with,
and it's not the director's cut. If you're looking to watch along, I think it's on.
How long? How fucking long is this movie?
I don't know.
It's
not,
gonna be
not
plus,
the director's cut. We're not
no
doing
chance.
The director's cut. Okay, let me just check it, because
guys, this is just me and you talking, Terry. Could you just earmuff it for a second?
Sure. Yeah.
Is there some sort of YouTube summary that I can watch that has the best scenes that will make me be able to talk
Amos
intelligently
dead.
About earmuff for me there, buddy? That we can that I don't have to watch the whole fucking movie. Which is, could someone let me know, or just give me points to talk about? Okay, buddy.
It's 2 hours 15, but it's James Cameron 2:15.
Okay,
so you won't even feel it go by. Okay. Do you feel the Terminator go by? T T2?
Not at all.
Yeah, exactly.
In and out. Didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, and it's like 2 hours 30. Didn't even know I was watching a movie.
Okay.
Schwarzenegger was just monologuing in my house.
Yeah. Thought it was in my imagination. Yeah. Anyway, on that note, goodbye, and we'll see you next week.
Yep.
Gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. With the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's.